The fact that we're starting will get people at least excited or get them down the stairs. I do know that the governor is having a press conference. I'm not taking it personally as you guys are moving out the room to go watch the governor. Let's see. Any legislators in the room? We're off the hook. Let's do the House Bill 3472. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the bill? Who wants to come up? Alakrim Marquis, come on up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3472 increases non-resident commercial fishing licenses as well as boat license fees. It also modifies the statutes pertaining to Dungeness crab fishing.
All right. Good afternoon. Welcome. We're officially in subcommittee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Russ Stoff. I'm the legislative coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. House Bill 3472 basically has three components to it. One is an adjustment to the limited entry fishery for nearshore commercial blue and black rockfish. It corrects an oversight that was made to the legislation that created the limited entry fishery in that it didn't stipulate a cutoff period for application to qualify for that fishery. So it establishes that cutoff date, which our agency needs. It also has a provision that increases non-resident commercial fishing license fees on a level that achieves parity with Washington and in California. And a third component is an internal adjustment to the commercial crab fishery at the request of crab fishermen.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Marquis.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim Marquis representing the Oregon Dungeness Crabbers. Good bill should pass. I agree with everything Russ said. Don't have anything to add.
So commercial fishers not opposed, and I assume the sort of sporting industry is not opposed.
Madam Chair, the sports industry, as far as I know, has sports fishing people have no position on this bill because it wouldn't affect them one way or another. The commercial fishing community likes the out-of-state fee increase because it puts us on parity with other states and would return about $400,000 per biennium to the commercial fish fund, which is needed. The changes on the crabbing limited entry, based on a survey done by the Dungeness Crab Commission, the crabbers favor that change over 2-1.
Okay, thank you. Questions for this group?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us at this public hearing. Director Minnis, are you here on House Bill 3497? Okay. Didn't want to overlook you. Let's go to that one. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3497. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3497
looks kind of
establishes a priority of allocations from the criminal fine and assessment account. It also eliminates the criminal fine and assessment public safety fund and transfers those monies into the assessment account.
All right, Mr. Campbell, why do we need this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kevin Campbell, Executive Director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. There's a number of other people here also that support the bill, but we've chosen me to move forward with the bill. Basically, this bill reaffirms the nexus between what we call system critical public safety entities and the criminal fines and assessments account. The first section basically talks about that. It's a preamble. And then the second section, which is really the operative section, lists five system critical elements of public safety that would be funded through this account, which include the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, crime victim programs, the forensics program of Oregon State Police, the medical examiners program, and the law enforcement data system. This also clarifies that the effective date of this bill would be impacting not budgets in this biennium, but budgets that would be created for the next biennium. The reason for that, it was an amendment done in the House side, was to avoid the possibility that we'd be further complicating budgets that have already been passed. And that is the the basics of the bill. And basically what it would happen is any budget that would be developed by the governor and subsequently by the legislature would fund those five accounts, and then the remainder would go to general fund. So that's the basis of the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions? I'm wrestling with, and I don't know if I'm confused because I have too much information or not enough, and that is currently my recollection is it was funded on a percentage basis.
Correct. Yes, Madam Chair, this eliminates the percentage basis. The percentage creates a challenge for agencies that have to budget through the percentage process. You might be able to ask technical assistance from individuals like John Menes, who has dealt with the budget under that scenario. This would eliminate the percentage, and what it would just simply say is that the criminal fines and assessments accounts now is for these five entities. So the governor would budget those five.
So would we have the percentage, essentially the percentage fight every session?
No, there would be no percentage fight at all. You'd have a fight over the amounts of the budget.
Okay.
This doesn't say anything about how much you would budget for any of these five.
Okay.
But it avoids the percentage split issue that's been a problem in the past.
And then the other issue was, for example, I recall, and I hope Steve Marks is listening somewhere, we took the Children's Trust Fund out of a dedicated as a dedicated source for the CFAA. This deals with general topic areas, correct?
Yes.
So that specific programs like the Children's Trust Fund would have access to those dollars again.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, these are the accounts that are in this fund would be accounts and services that would be important to the whole state. So regardless of where you are in the state, you depend on these services. And that was kind of the criteria that was set as these were developed.
Okay. Questions?
And it did pass out of the House unanimously. That doesn't mean anything, but
especially right now.
Did I make it home? I'll retract the previous statement, Madam Chair.
Mr. Menes, why don't you come on up?
Add a touch of irony to the whole
thing. No.
Yeah. Did this go downhill then?
The only reason I'm not jumping up and down is that I just have a sort of a lack of trust in terms of this whole account and kind of what we've done over the last couple of sessions. And Sarah Atkinson?
No.
Besides, I wanted to have an opportunity to have Director Menes tell me why he thinks this is a good idea.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate Rules Committee, I am neutral on the bill.
Mm.
Who are you?
That's an excellent question. My name is John Menes. I'm the director of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. With respect to this particular bill, the way it is constructed is it would eliminate the current 67-33% split between general fund and the public safety fund that currently exists, and the compression that exists based on the forecast of CFAA dollars that is in our current budget construct. The concept, if I understand correctly, would be that these entities identified in the bill would be those entities that would have first priority on the CFAA dollars or that revenue stream. But the concept is also broad enough that the governor, whoever that is, in their construct of the governor's budget, could put as little as $1 of CFAA money in each of these various entities, and then the rest of the money would flow to the general fund.
Right. That's why I'm wondering why all the folks that had dedicated percentages think that this is a good idea.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I think partly because, in again, not speaking in favor either for or against
Correct.
The bill, I think that the issue is that when you build a budget from an agency's perspective based on a reduced or a reduction in this revenue source, what it causes you have to do is go through what we call 070 budget reduction construct, which means we have to, and in the case of my agency, reduce about $2.1 million. Of existing budget positions before we got to a subsequent package that was part of the governor's construct that restored those positions in the process. So there's an internal budget construct. This would hopefully eliminate that whole issue for us in general. But it also gives the entities who are named there, hopefully, a first right of refusal to those funds, and hopefully in the statute would put a footprint in the statute saying that these are the purposes for which these dollars are generated. And it also preserves the historical background of the creation of the CFAA in the first place. And Madam Chair, as you know, throughout the years that I served in the legislature, there's always an argument as to who was in and who was out. And it always became a political football for everybody. And in the instance that you suggest, the Children's Trust Fund was taken out of the program. Mm-hmm. I think in 1993, I put the Oregon State Police into the fund against their will when I chair the Ways and Means Committee. So it's always been an ongoing problem. But as you know, in the construct of this governor's budget, this governor chose to treat all of the CFAA dollars as general fund. So it is really a hybrid in between, and I think any governor has the ability to make those choices in the construct of their budget. So the bill's not trying to take that flexibility away from the governor, but really for the public safety community, I know that in talking to chiefs and sheriffs and constituents of my agency, they feel very, very strongly that these dollars be first dedicated to public safety. And I think as Mr. Campbell spoke to systems critical component parts of the criminal justice system, which is why I believe OSP Forensics, the medical examiner, and those entities are put in there. It also, if I understand, preserves those functions of victims assistance within the Attorney General's office that currently receive CFAA dollars and also go through the same complex budget construct in the creation of the governor's budget with respect to CFAA dollars. So I think that the value of the bill for the public safety community and those that currently draw resources from this fund is to put in statute a footprint that simply says this is the first priority and these dollars should be spent on public safety, but it in no way binds the governor in the construct of their budget.
And therein lies my concern.
Well, Madam Chair, as you know, you, the legislature, have the ability to decide
that,
what those
yes.
ultimate expenditures are, and hence the idea of having a footprint, I suppose, and a statement of purpose in the bill, although it doesn't have the force of law, it does at least put that statement in the law, but clear enough that people would understand why it's there.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. I just wanted an opportunity to actually ask you questions, so thanks.
Madam Chair, you did a fine job, with the exception of my not telling you who I was.
Thank you. All right, anybody else wishing to testify on House Bill 3497? All right, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3497. 3494. Well, since we're down at the 3,000s, let's go down and let's do House Bill 3494. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us about the bill? I don't know if Senator Westland is wishing to testify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3494 specifies the type of mitigation that would satisfy the statutory mitigation requirements within the Deschutes River Basin, and we have a -5 amendment before us.
Thank you. Anybody wishing to testify in favor of the bill?
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Sherry Atkinson.
Chair or person?
Yes.
Who's the -5 from?
I believe it's from Senator Westland.
I think it's Senator Ringo.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, one of the two. Mr. DeVoe, Mr. Myers, do you guys want to come testify on the -5s, or do you want to read them first? They're gone. Okay, we're batting below 1,000 here. Sir Ringo, 3494, are the -5 amendments yours?
Madam Chair, I don't know the number. I know that folks in Water Watch are coming down to at least look at them.
Okay.
I'm very sensitive to the timing issues and the parties involved.
All right. Let's just close this public hearing since we're going nowhere fast. Mr. Myers, the -5 amendments are out. I would like you to take an opportunity to review them, and we'll come back to this matter later.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go back up to the top of the agenda. Senator Farrielly, House Bill 2561 had amendments which were conflict amendments.
we cut off someone from Department of Human Services yesterday, but none of us were aware that there were amendments.
Yeah, I got a copy of those amendments from my office and had a conversation
okay.
with the proponents and have no objections.
All right. So, hey, you two, need you to listen. No, you're not. You're talking. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2561 for the purpose of possible reconsideration. I would move that we suspend the rules for the possible reconsideration of House Bill 2561. Any discussion?
No, Mom.
Any objection? So ordered. Luckily, I'm not old enough to be your mother. I move that we reconsider the vote by which the committee sent House Bill 2561 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Bill's back in committee. Okay, folks, I would move the dash A2 amendments to House Bill 2561. Ms. Harris, can you just tell us briefly what they do?
Sure, Madam Chair and committee. The amendments to House Bill 2561 add a few provisions that basically reinforce the transfer of the Oregon Youth Authority. It provides that DHS will transfer resources and expended budget monies, personnel, and the like over to the Oregon Youth Authority.
All right. Any other questions? Chair would move the dash A2 amendments. Any further discussion? Any objection? Hearing seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I can't remember who was carrying.
We'll research that for you.
Okay. Whoever was carrying yesterday can carry today. Thank you. Sorry, guys. All right, let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2062. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2062 modifies the statutes governing health benefits from the insurance pool for small employers.
All right, Mr. King, come on up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rocky King. I'm the administrator for the Insurance Pool Governing Board. And House Bill 2062 engrossed is an important bill because it establishes a mechanism by which the board, in conjunction with the carriers, can establish an administrative fee for those plans that are sold in order to raise some money so we can go out and hopefully market and do some outreach to small employers to let them know about this program. It also provides some clarification on definitions that were reached in agreement with the carrier community, as well as allowing us to further define residency requirements for eligibility under FEOP and the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program. So it's a good bill, has no opposition. The carriers that are involved with the certified plans, both Health Net and Regents Blue Cross, have indicated their support.
Okay, thank you. This is a fix-up of the bill we passed last session. I want to say 2537.
2537, that is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. I lost my committee. I have to move very quickly. Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to testify on this particular bill? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, close the public hearing. Let's move to 2122. Open a public hearing, House Bill 2122. We're officially in subcommittee. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us what the bill does? Thank you, James.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2122B sets up a fee schedule and extends the rate period in which forest products harvest taxes are imposed.
All right. Mr. Lorenzen, Mr. Wilkerson, Ms. McNitt.
Chair Brown and members of the committee, I'm Ted Lawrence, an assistant state forester with the Oregon Department of Forestry. As was noted in the discussion on the bill, the forest products harvest tax is used to fund several things: the Oregon State University Forest Research Lab, Department of Forestry's administration of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, and some other elements with regard to fire protection. Specific to the bill, and the Forest Practices Act. That's a variable rate that has to be established for the calendar years for each biennium. It creates a shared responsibility where the harvest tax provides no more than 40% of the Forest Practices Program, and the general fund providing the remaining share. The tax rates are established on a per 1,000-foot basis. I provided a little history background and attachments, won't go into that. But given the Senate version of the budget and the variables that we use to calculate the tax, we recommend a rate of 57 cents per 1,000 board feet for the Oregon Forest Act segment of the harvest tax.
All right. Mr. Wilkerson.
Madam Chair, Ray Wilkerson, Oregon Forest Industries Council, representing private forest landowners who paid this tax or large share of it, and I would just like to go on record in support of the bill.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's good. Ms. McNitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christina McNitt, representing the Oregon Small Woodlands Association, which is the other half of the private landowners in the state of Oregon, also paying harvest tax when we harvest our trees, and we have worked with the department and parties and are supportive of this bill.
All right. Questions? Sarah Atkinson? Sarah Ringo, we're on House Bill 2122. Any questions?
Not at the moment, Madam Chair.
All right. Close public hearing. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us today. House Bill, let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2154. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Chair Brown, Committee. House Bill 2154 authorizes the governor to assign local resources across jurisdictional boundaries to respond to structural collapses or the threat of an imminent structural collapse.
All right. Who... Anybody wishing to testify on House Bill 2154? Anybody willing to volunteer? Sir Atkinson.
Why do we need this bill?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but it's at the request of the governor for the Department of the Oregon State Police, so we'll find out. And. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Let's close the public hearing on 2154. Open a public hearing on 2180, elevators.
I heard the sharp intake of breath from staff. Is that a bad thing?
No, it was mine.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2180 allows the inspection frequency for elevators to be established by rule.
Mr. Long,
please. Mark Long. Mr. Long, you're going to have your ups and downs in front of this committee, I'm correct. That was in honor of Senator Shields, who's not here today.
I feel sideways.
That was a groaner.
House Bill 2180.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Mark Long, Administrator of State Building Codes. 2180 is one of our streamlining bills that we've been working on. This is a product of a work group that came through House Business. It's a consensus bill, and it has the support of all of our industries that we work with. Just to give you a little bit of background on it, right now in statute, elevator inspections are set annually, regardless of whether they move 12 inches or 12 stories. We'd like to have the ability to prioritize our workload to make sure that we spend our time where it's necessary and maybe not on the 12-inch elevators that only move a small distance that don't have any experience of safety problems or hazards. We think this is a good bill, and we'd like your support. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions from the committee?
I have a few.
Senator Atkinson?
What is a 12-inch elevator?
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, there are platform lifts, wheelchair lifts that only move up just a stair or two, very short distance to accommodate the Americans with Disabilities Act.
And follow-up.
Senator.
And current statute says that you've got to go and inspect that elevator the exact same you do as an elevator here in the Capitol.
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, that's correct. We inspect that elevator every year, the same that we would look at one in this building or in a high-rise building.
Yet another question for this
bicameral product of a work group consensus bill?
Mr. Chair. Have the floor, Senator.
Why on earth do we need to run a bill to do this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, you haven't given me the ability to change statute yet administratively.
Raise your right hand.
and so the frequency is set in statute, and that's why I'm before you.
Okay. I'm done with this hostile witness.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. I actually do have a question. Are we going to hear back from the department in 2 years about the terrible backlog of inspections on elevators that were prioritized below some certain threshold of importance?
Mr. Chair, I hope not. This is going to allow us to give you a little bit of background. Elevators in Oregon are growing at about a 6% basis. The number of elevators going into the state of Oregon are growing by about 6% every 2 years. I have a couple choices in dealing with that. I can add staff, add fees to cover that, or I can start prioritizing my workload. This is my attempt to prioritize the workload so that things that that shouldn't or don't need to be looked at as frequently, I can focus my resources on the more important.
And, Madam Chair, last question for me. Is it your intention to use this authority to set priorities, to set an inspection schedule, for instance, no greater than a two-year period, or have you got some parameters around this so that people will have the benefit of those inspections for safety's sake?
Mr. Chair, we haven't set out any predetermined amounts yet, only because we didn't know what your position would be on the bill. This bill requires us to work through our electrical and elevator board, which is made up of industry folks, and we'll go through a rulemaking process to set those parameters. I hope that it's based on actual experience and risk to public safety as opposed to just go and do it one, go look at every elevator once a year. So,
thank you. Madam Chair, I'll note for the record that the bill is supported by the Associated Builders and Contractors, Associated General Contractors, Building Owners and Managers Association, IBEW Local 280 and 48, Independent Electric Contractors Association of Oregon, National Electrical Contractors Association, Oregon Building Officials Association, Oregon Building and Trades Construction Council, Oregon Home Builders Association, Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association, Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association, the United Association of Plumbers, Steam Fitters, and Marine Fitters Local. Seems like a fairly well-supported little piece of legislation.
That's his props, Mr. Chair.
All right. We're going to still be safe in riding elevators after we pass this bill.
In which buildings?
Oh,
yeah. I'm kidding.
Not funny.
Yeah.
That is not funny.
Somebody's betting their career on this
bill. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions, Senator Atkinson? Okay. All right. Let's go to House Bill 2527.
Requires a manufacturer, instructors, and park advisory board meet.
Ms. Harris. Mr. Miner's going to tell us why we need this bill.
Madam Chair and Committee.
And Mr. Brenneman.
Bill 2527A increases the minimum number of meetings of the manufactured structures and parks advisory board each year from 1 to 2.
It does a few other things, too, doesn't it?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Don Miner here on behalf of Oregon Manufactured Housing Association to speak in support of this. It does exactly what your committee administrator said so it does.
The original bill's a
Oh, the original
thicker.
Bill. That did a lot more than
yes.
that. But it got compromised down to...
I think this is the worst watered down I've seen. All right. So tell us why we need this bill.
In 1975, the legislature created the Manufactured Structures and Parks Advisory Board to oversee the manufactured home program at the Building Codes Division. That board is comprised of industry representatives, consumers, and government.
Okay.
The industry and consumers pay about $3.8 million into the program, and they would like to have a bit more of a say. I've given you a copy of, and I recognize that you're not representing Greg Smith, but just the frequency with which other boards meet. It's about 4 times a year. If you look at the second page of that handout, it'll show you that in the past, the Manufactured Structures Board used to meet about 3 to 5 times a year. You've heard this one before, I think.
Yes.
And went to increase the frequency to give the industry more of a voice. Pat Schwant, who represents consumers, couldn't be here today, but she asked that I convey to you her support.
All right.
That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Brenneman. What do you wish to add?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Brenneman. My client is Manufactured Housing Communities of Oregon. In the part of the manufactured housing industry, and we're here in support of Don and his bill.
Great. Questions? Sarah Atkinson? Do you have any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2527. Oh, man, we're just cruising. All right. Go to beef. Open public hearing on House Bill 2656.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2656A makes the Oregon Beef Council assessment on cattle mandatory.
Mr. Nelson, Mr. Stonebrink, is this your swan song? Mr. Stonebrink, is this your swan song?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Are you leaving us? Okay.
As soon as this bill is over, I'm retiring now.
Okay. It is your swan song, then.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Madam Chair, wait a minute.
We can't pass the bill then.
He's going to go out with a tax increase?
For a level of curing from the committee.
My legacy is to raise taxes before I leave. That way they'll never want me back.
Senator Farrielli?
Madam Chair, he did not understand the question. This would be the last cattle call. That would be poultry, Madam Chair.
Well, Senator Farrielli, I was looking for the right cliche, but it didn't come to mind, so.
Swan would be wonderful.
All right, Mr. Stonebrink, why should we pass a fee increase?
For the record, Glenn Stonebrink with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, Madam Chairman. The cattlemen, the beef industry in the past have asked the legislature on a number of occasions to fund research that would be directly affecting the cattle industry, and we know times are pretty tough, and we've been turned down, and we've actually been told from time to time, when are you going to step up to the plate as a commodity, as an industry? Some of the other ag commodities do that, and so we kind of looked at ourselves and said, okay, if we're going to, they're right. So, and in fact, right now the beef prices are up a little bit. It was a good time to approach both the cattle industry and the dairy association to consider this, to increase a fee upon themselves and then be able to pay for this research. So that's the essence of where the bill started from. Right.
Mr. Nelson.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Nelson, representing the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association. We support House Bill 2656 for the same reasons that Mr. Stonebrink stated. We began a funded research project with Oregon State University, primarily respond to EPA pressures on air quality with methane and ammonia emissions from dairy lagoons and so on. And as you know, odors and other emissions from dairy operations have been the subject of interest to the EPA. They currently have a memo out to all dairy producers in the United States saying admit guilt to violations of the Clean Air Act by August 1st, and we will extend protections against citizens' lawsuits to you. But we don't have any real substantive research on the ground that gives us direction on how to minimize or mitigate those emissions. So we support this bill as a self-help bill for the dairy industry as well as the beef industry.
Great. Thank you. Sarah Atkinson, any questions?
No.
Sarah Farrielli? He wowed us on his, what is it, cattle call? On
his final, his cattle. Last cattle call.
Good luck. Who's going to be replacing you, do you know? Not that you're replaceable, but.
Kay Teasel at the office will be the executive director, and Kevin Westfall will be doing governmental affairs, and with us today is Katie Goff, who's also working at the cattlemen. So.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. I think that's it. Will you retrieve Senator Ringo?
Yes.
We're going to come back in on House Bill 3494, but it would be very helpful if we had Senator Ringo and Senator Westland here. Mr. Moskowitz, you wanted to testify?
You're not here either. This is great. For the audience's information, we're going to hold a couple of bills over at least for 24 hours. Why am I holding that one? Oh, House Bill, some of them are for technical reasons. House Bill 2062, House Bill 2122, and House Bill 3497, and let's hear what we got on 3494.
They're still negotiating little tweaks in Ledge Council, so I don't know if you want to recess for 20 minutes or just wait till tomorrow.
You know what? I wasn't going to move it anyway. Can you just come back and help us move the other bills?
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Okay. How many of us believe that?
What do we need him for?
Okay. All right.
You got us.
That's what scares me, Senator Atkinson. All right. Okay.
Minority report?
It's hard to do. All right. Let's move into, and I won't move 2154 since no one came to. Work session on House Bill 2180. This is the free-fall elevators bill.
Oh, Lord.
Chair would move the bill. There are no amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is this a career builder or a career breaker?
Yeah, literally, I think. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Who would like to carry? Why don't you, Senator Farrielly, since you're so aware
I feel like
of
I'm depriving Senator Shields of several a target-rich environment for his
That's why you're carrying it, Senator Farrielly. Okay. All right. So 2180 to Senator Farrielly. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2527. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Atkinson, do you want to carry?
I would be delighted to carry that sterling piece of water, public policy.
All right. Thank you. Moving to work session on House Bill 2656. Senator Farrielly, you're okay?
Love that bill, ma'am.
All right. All right. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Include Senator Ringo in that? Not so ordered. Did you want to carry?
Okay.
I will carry. So my sister will talk to me.
We used to have to tie a pork chop. I never mind. I'm sure.
Oh.
All right. Open a work session on House Bill 3472. You all missed the hearing, but basically it increases non-residents' commercial fishing licenses and boat licensing fees. There's no objection. And the chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Carrying that. So, order, Senator Ringo, we're going to let you carry that.
Thank you very much.
Representative Wisnat, I assume you're here on House Bill 3494. My understanding is that the parties are tweaking the amendments. Have you seen the Dash 5 amendments?
Madam Chair?
Senator Ringo.
I suggest that Representative Wisnat goes to the Ledge Council conference room.
All right.
Where the confab is occurring at this moment.
You know what? Since I actually like people to read the amendments before we move them, let's just put this on tomorrow's agenda, and hopefully we can get it all done and wrapped in a bow. Okay? Thank you. All right. Anything else coming before the committee?
Thank you, Senator Mann.
Did I miss any? There's so many people in the audience. You must not have anything else to do. All right. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much.